This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. In the Cooley region, many businesses have expressed a need for more workers to keep their organizations growing. One of the barriers to attracting and maintaining employees is the availability of childcare, especially in rural areas. Recently, business leaders and local officials have come together to study this issue and better support access to adequate and affordable childcare. Joining us today to talk about some of these regional initiatives are Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place in La Crosse, and Marianne Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls. Chris, why did the Seven Rivers Alliance want to start looking at this issue, the availability of childcare?
So this came up last year when we did our 10-year comprehensive workforce development plan. In the planning process of developing that plan, we identified three key issues or challenges across the region, and they were transportation, affordable housing, and access to affordable childcare. And that becomes an issue in finding workers because the lack of childcare is keeping people out of the workforce or forcing them to work part-time. And that keeps the challenge of finding workers even greater than it is. And so if we can address that, the challenge of finding the childcare across the region, we can find more workers, and that'll help with that issue.
Is this a new issue for businesses?
I don't think it's a new issue for businesses, but I think that it's become much more acute over the past few years simply because of other things that we'll be talking about today. Regulations, the challenge of daycare providers to find their own staff. There's a number of factors that have made it more of a challenge now, and we're feeling it more because of the fact that we have such a worker shortage that it just becomes much more, we are much more aware of it now.
So I want to kind of quantify this issue of, a shortage of access to childcare. And I wonder, Jody, I know the Parenting Place has looked at this and done reports on this issue in the past. Can you give us some insight into what this issue looks like in La Crosse County and also in the rural counties around it?
I can. In 1998 in La Crosse County, there were 450 regulated child care businesses. So that was either child care centers or people doing child care from their home, certified or licensed. In 2018, there are 87 child care businesses who are regulated in La Crosse County. So that is a dramatic decrease, and parents are having a very challenging time finding child care. And then, just like Chris says, the businesses are feeling it too. They're hearing that people aren't going to work because it's easier to stay home with their children and than it is to find child care. And those stats mirror our rural counties like Monroe County and Vernon County. And also in the state of Wisconsin, there is the number of certified providers over the past 17 years has decreased from 1,500 in the whole state, just certified people doing child care in their home, down to 722. So that's a big shift, and that is causing huge gaps in child care, in regulated child care. We know those children of working parents are getting cared for somewhere, so we know some of that is shifted to unregulated care.
Do we have a sense of if the need for childcare has changed? You mentioned we are seeing a decrease in the number of providers, but, is the same need there?
I would say yes. With our unemployment rate at an all-time low, that means parents are working. The childcare need is there. We are, one of the services that the Parenting Place provides is childcare referrals. So we are the one resource that parents can contact for a list of any regulated child care provider. Those numbers of referrals are increasing. They're up by 20% compared to the same time last year. So people really are still looking for child care. They need it, and they're struggling to find it.
Marianne, I believe that Jackson County has recently experienced the impact of losing child care providers. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, how your organization, the Co-op Credit Union, kind of got started in looking into this issue.
We were having employees that were leaving the workforce to stay home to care for their small children due to the lack of quality, affordable care at home. And what started as a lobby conversation with a couple of businesses in Jackson County kind of grew into this grassroots effort to really look at what are we having for child care issues and how is it impacting our workforce. And so we kind of got this little grassroots group together and did some survey work with parents to get their feedback on what issues they were experiencing.
And so who is involved in that group? You know, who has wanted to kind of take part in those conversations?
Well, we have a number of people that are on the committee with us. We have people from our electric cooperative, from Jackson Electric. We have a couple of representatives from Jackson County Health and Human Services. The school district is involved. Chris Hardy sits on our committee with us. We also have Dottie Lillo from Western Dairyland Child Care Partnership Resource and Referral Center with us. And then a few other businesses. Millis Transfer is involved. We have a couple of people from Black River Area Child Care Center. DNS Manufacturing. So we just have a real nice grassroots effort of people that work in childcare as well as the employer representation.
And so what is your group, focused on so far? I believe you mentioned surveying parents, but, you know, I wonder kind of if you could talk about some of the projects you guys have been working on.
Currently, we're really trying to work to get a good look at the data and what the families and the employers are experiencing in our community. Before we start doing any problem solving, it's important for us to really have the facts. What is going on in Jackson County from both the parents' perspective and the business perspective? So we completed our parent survey, and those results were analyzed, and now we are currently in the process of accepting the survey results from the employers. We're running that survey through the end of this month.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about how a lack of childcare options is impacting the workforce in the Cooley region. We're here with Marianne Torkelson from Co-op Credit Union in Jackson County, Jody Weedock from The Parenting Place, Chris Hardy from Seven Rivers Alliance, and Ruth Schmidt from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Ruth, you know, just hearing Marianne kind of talk about the situation in Jackson County, I wonder if we're seeing other examples of, you know, counties really, taking a step back and looking at the impact of a lack of child care and how that's impacting their county. Are we seeing this play out in other areas of the state?
So what I would say is that the issue that Jody brought up is playing out in probably most, if not all, of the rural counties across Wisconsin. Additionally, I think when you look in our more densely populated counties, you see similar issues, but I think it's hitting counties differently. And so what Jody was talking about is something that we call a child care desert. It's where there really is this complete inadequate availability of regulated care slots for children whose parents might need that care. And in Wisconsin, probably close to 30-40% of our counties have available regulated care for less than 50% of the family need that we're seeing in counties across the state. When you look in larger counties, you see that the issue is hitting harder in terms of availability of infant care. Infant care happens to be the most expensive care, not just in Wisconsin. That's true of care across our nation. And so it's challenging for families to be able to afford it. And so in many counties, you see a real unavailability of infant care. You see perhaps a little more for preschool age children. The adult to child ratios that are required when you're working with slightly older children You can work with more children in your program with one adult. And so there's a lot of complicating reasons why we have this, what I would sort of call a crisis in care. And when you look at the impact that it's having on employers, we're routinely hearing from employers that have to leave positions vacant in excess of 4 months, 5 months, when you have this highly competitive unemployment rate that we have in Wisconsin. It's very, very hard to attract especially young employees, employees with very young children, so young families, and those positions are staying open for a very long time because families cannot secure the care that they need to be able to enter or stay in the workforce. So it is a very common issue across the state.
You know, you mentioned regulations, and I just wonder if we've seen changes in state or even local regulations in the last few years that is making this issue more complicated for child care providers.
So I think what I would say about that, there are a lot of regulations that providers have to follow in order to stay open in Wisconsin, provide legal care, and take the state shares subsidy. So if you're caring for very low-income children, there's a subsidy available to help with covering the cost of that care. And while I think it's true that we have a lot of regulations, the regulations serve a critical purpose, obviously to keep children safe, to ensure that providers are providing high-quality care. We have a quality rating system in Wisconsin called Young Star, and I'm sure Jody could talk a lot more about that. The purpose of it, obviously, is so that parents can quickly see what is the quality of care that's available in my community, and then child care programs can work on improving their quality of care. So there are standards, there are requirements, there's education levels that providers have to meet. But to me, I think the real crux of the issue is the economics of childcare. And so because parents who have young children are typically young families, they're at probably their lowest earning potential that they'll be at any future time in their life. And they're facing these expenses. Infant care can run in some counties in Wisconsin, it's as high as $15,000 a year. So the economics of care make it very challenging for providers to be able to charge families enough to cover the cost of care. They can't pay their staff enough to keep their staff employed. The average wage in Wisconsin for someone who works in child care is $10 an hour, and that's often with an associate's degree. And so at a time when we have this really low unemployment rate, if you have a child care teacher who's making $10 an hour without access to benefits, and they can go to an employer in their community down the block that's paying $15 an hour with benefits, I think that to me is probably even more of the critical reason why we're seeing this real shortage in care. It's very hard to keep your doors open. It's hard to pay your teachers. And the primary reason is that right now in our country, we finance child care pretty much exclusively on the backs of our families, which is just it's a very challenging thing even for middle income families to be able to cover that cost.
Chris, I wonder what your thoughts are on this issue of not only looking at the impacts of childcare on the, you know, local economy, but looking at childcare as a business, as a local employer. Has the Seven Rivers Alliance looked at that part of this issue?
Right now, we're really kind of focusing on how can we find some solutions to alleviate the shortage. We really haven't delved deep into the business aspect of childcare or the aspects of our other businesses. We're trying to operate at a higher level. But one of the keys to, I think, solving this is to get businesses involved. And one of the ways to do that is to demonstrate and show them that there's a hidden cost when there is a lack of childcare. So one of the things that we did in Jackson County was we asked parents, how much time do you spend making alternative childcare arrangements during your work hours? And the results of that were pretty astonishing. So 7% said it was 5 or more hours per month, 15 said 3 to 4 hours a month, 29% said 1 to 2 hours per month, and 34% said less than 1 hour per month. Only 15% of the workers said that they didn't spend any time on company time dealing with childcare issues. So what does that mean? So what we did was we took the workforce development numbers for Jackson County, and we took the key sector areas of manufacturing, trade, transportation, and utilities in all industries so that we could put a dollar amount. What does this mean when you lose that productivity? So the answer is that all industries in Jackson County, because of the fact that they have workers who are spending time on company time having to deal with childcare, they are losing more than $200,000 per month or $2.5 million per year. That's the economic impact that it's having on just Jackson County employers alone. So that ought to raise some eyebrows and get the attention of employers to say, you know, we got to come up with a way where we can help to be a partner in solving the child care shortage.
Yeah, Marianne, I mean, I have to imagine that really caught people's attention about this issue.
It really did. You know, some of the results that really stuck out for us, you know, 68% of the respondents were unable to work overtime due to childcare arrangements or were absent from work due to childcare. And 55% of employees have been late to work due to childcare issues. 50% of employees were unable to work to their full capacity due to stress and concerns about childcare arrangements. So those stats all feed into the information that Chris just provided. So, you know, it was about 43% of the parents that participated in our survey felt that their current childcare arrangement fully met their family's needs. So there's definitely a need there. Many are relying on family and friends, making it difficult to maintain their work schedule, or their family and friends are working, and so, you know, they're doing what they can to make things work. And at the heart of this is the children. The children don't have a structure to their day, and that is problematic and something that we definitely want to make better for the children.
Yeah, Jody, I wonder what your thoughts are on that issue.
Well, we did some surveying similar to Marianne's in Monroe and Juneau counties. And what the parents are telling us is really startling. And the impact on the children is something that will influence our future workforce. If children don't have consistent, nice routines early on, that will translate later as adults. Some of the families, they're relying on 6 different arrangements in a week to care for their children. That's a lot of juggling. That's a lot of almost chaos sometimes for the children. So what Marianne is talking about in Jackson County, it's not unique. It's happening in all of our communities, and it's a hardship, and it does take away from parents' ability to be present to their work. And one of the questions we asked were, you know, how certain are you about your child? Are you worrying about your child during the day? And there's a high percentage of parents who aren't very confident of the child care that arrangements that they have, and that just kind of eats away at you in the back of your mind, you know, when you're at work and hard to get. And it's hard for your children, too.
That's Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place in La Crosse, here with us today to talk about how business leaders and childcare organizations are coming together to improve childcare options in the Cooley region. She's joined by Marianne Torkelson from the Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls, Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, and Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Earlier in the conversation, we were talking about, you know, how childcare providers, what challenges they are facing to be able to provide the childcare that's needed for workers. And, you know, Jody, I want to return to this with you and just hear, you know, are you hearing from local childcare providers, you know, these hardships when it comes to recruiting employees at their businesses, or you know, being able to make businesses function at the rates that they're charging?
Yes, you're absolutely right. The same shortage that our other businesses are experiencing, the childcare field is also experiencing. Childcare centers, it's very common for us to hear that maybe a room that they once had open to care for four infants is now closed because they could not find qualified staff. And I'm assuming that's happening all over the state. So even though the child care center might still be open, they've lost four very important slots of those infant caring for infants. Child care centers have a very hard time recruiting qualified staff members. Their biggest competitors are school districts, because those early childhood degrees are coveted by both public schools and childcare. And the compensation packages, you just can't compare them, along with summers off when you're working for a school district. We've also heard from our certified providers who have chosen to go out of care that they like the benefits that come from working at Quick Trip or other places, and they can't get that when they're self-employed and being there caring for four children in a day. So it unfortunately, despite how incredibly important that caregiver's role is for young children, it is not gainful employment in the state of Wisconsin right now. And that's really unfortunate, because we need highly qualified folks to be caring for young children. They're very vulnerable. What happens to them early in their years, both good and bad, stays with them for a lifetime. So it's rough out there for those child care providers. There are some folks I know who we've talked to, they love children. They want to spend their days caring for children. But their families, their own families, need those incomes to go up, so they can't afford to care for children.
I wonder how this situation is different for unregulated child care providers, you know, people who aren't, you know, necessarily licensed, but are still, you know, kind of filling that gap.
Yeah, so there are different categories of unregulated providers out there. There's friend and family care, where, you know, maybe grandma and grandpa is taking care of kids before or after school, or maybe you're trading care with the neighbor down the street. In the state of Wisconsin, you can care for three unrelated children and be legal. So we know that that's happening, and that does fill an important niche in the child care puzzle here. Our surveys are showing there's probably about half of the slots are being filled by unregulated providers. That's our best estimates right now out of Monroe and Juneau counties. And that sometimes that can be perfectly fine. Where we get into concern, though, is when we don't know about folks who maybe are caring for more kids than is manageable. What's going on with background checks for all the adults in the household? What about the environment? Is it safe? All of those really important things that are checked on when a provider is in regulation are not getting checked on with unregulated. So that is a concern. We want all children in the state of Wisconsin to have access to quality care. So I personally kind of worry about those kiddos who aren't in regulated care, and maybe there are some not so great situations out there.
Marianne, what have you guys found in Jackson County when it comes to comparing regulated care and unregulated care?
From the results in our survey, we know that people are tapping into unregulated care. It's a necessity. If they're going to be able to hold their job down, they're doing whatever they can. And some unregulated care works very well. It's just that matter, like Jody said, of, you know, making sure the kids are in a good environment.
I will
And Jody, yeah.
Yeah, I will add one thing. A more recent survey that we're still kind of starting to go through right now is we're hearing that the unregulated care tends to be less expensive than regulated care. So naturally, families are attracted to that, especially when things are tight. It's hard to fit that child care expense into budgets. So folks are looking for ways to save, and sometimes that's the choice that they make.
Ruth, do you guys have a good sense of, across the state, you know, how many families are relying on unregulated child care options to kind of make things work?
You know, if that's sort of the $64,000 question, I don't know that anybody has a really good answer to that, other than saying we know that there are close to 370,000 children under the age of four in Wisconsin. And I can tell you right now we have regulated slots for probably about 60% of those kids across the entire state. So there, and I know that Wisconsin is actually probably in the top four or five states in the nation for having all available parents in the workforce. Wisconsin has a super strong work ethic, and we have a very high rate of moms in the workforce. And so we know that the fact that there's only regulated care across the entire state, including Milwaukee, Madison, you know, all the large urban areas, for probably less than 60% of the kids, we know that there's a high number of children in unregulated care. And I think the other part of this equation that we need to ask ourselves, and I think, you know, it's such a multifaceted issue. If you look at what is happening with our lowest income working families, and this is true across the entire state, our lowest income working families have access to the Wisconsin Shares subsidy program, which pays a portion of your child care fees. The federal government funds this program. And the federal government says best practice is that the state is paying for, is reimbursing at what they say 75% of market rate. So best practice would be that any family could take their subsidy check and they could buy full-time care for their child at 75% of the available slots in their county. But Wisconsin has pretty much frozen its subsidy rates for probably about the past 10 years. We've seen some small increases in our subsidy rate just recently. But prior to that, Wisconsin had dropped to reimbursing at close to 15% of market rate, which means for our lowest income families, there simply isn't even going to be pretty much any affordable care in their communities. And so often, while it is less than optimal for kids, especially our lowest income kids who stand to benefit the most from being in high quality care, their families, even with a subsidy payment, are not in a position to be purchasing higher quality care in their communities. And so it's like a double whammy for our lowest income children across the state of Wisconsin. And then I think the other interesting piece, and this is something that Chris has been talking about quite a bit, and that is looking at what are communities doing. It's almost as though what you're hearing across the state is that communities have stopped waiting for government to kind of fix this, right? It's not that we're waiting for the federal government to dump a huge infusion of tax dollars into child care, and it's not like we're waiting for the state to do that. And so you have communities across the state doing this really creative work together, like what you're seeing in Western Wisconsin, where you have healthcare professionals at the table. You have faith professionals at the table from your local churches. You've got economic development people. You have workforce development people. You've got private sector businesses at the table. You've got education at the table. You've got county government at the table. You have all these different partners that are coming together to say, this is not working in our community, and we're running out options and we're running out of time, and it's impacting us as employers, and it's impacting our families, and it's impacting our schools. And so I think this is where you see communities increasingly looking for really creative solutions to what can you do to change this trajectory of availability of care in communities.
Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, is here with us today to talk about how a lack of childcare in the Cooley region is impacting local businesses. Also joining us are Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place, Marianne Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union, and Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance. Coming up, we'll talk about how businesses are working to be part of the solution when it comes to childcare. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're taking a look at the economic impact of childcare, how a lack of adequate childcare options is impacting the workforce and local businesses. The issue is especially challenging for rural communities, where regulated childcare options are harder to come by. Recently, local business leaders and elected officials have come together to study this issue and better support access to adequate and affordable childcare. Joining us now to talk about this issue are Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place in La Crosse, and Marianne Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union in Black River Falls. Chris, you mentioned in the first half of the program that businesses are starting to want to be part of the solution when it comes to fixing the problem of access to childcare. And I wonder if you could go into a little bit more detail about, you know, some examples of local businesses really tackling this issue.
Yes, businesses are becoming more aware of this because the challenge of finding workers is two-pronged. One is recruitment and second is retention. And one of the ways that they're going to be able to find workers is the first question that somebody has if they're going to move to this region after they're offered a job is what's the availability of childcare? And if you are an employer and can't answer that or don't have a good answer for that, it doesn't give you an advantage when it comes to recruiting that person to come and work for you. So one of the things that we've taken a look at, and actually this started a couple of years ago in Vernon County, where Organic Valley actually looked at the feasibility of building an in-house center. And I give them a lot of credit because they really analyzed the cost of not having that daycare to their business and factored that into their analysis on, you know, can we make a goal of this and make it work? And part of the conversation of that resulted in some of the ongoing efforts that Ruth is involved in Vernon County that are looking for some solutions, and I'm sure she can fill us in on that. But I think that employers can look at the possibility of offering some kind of subsidy. They can look at partnering with a child care center to say, you know, we'll pay for 10 slots per year, and they can use those slots to their employees as needed. Think of the great recruitment tool that would be if you're looking for, if somebody wants to come and work for you and say, well, we can take care of child care. And balance that against the cost of the lack of productivity or not finding those workers. And I think that they'll find, it's always about the bottom line, of course, for any business. But if they start digging into that, I think they'll realize that there's a hidden cost there that should be on their books that's probably not on their books that they really could factor in when it comes to making a decision about how they want to step up to the plate financially to be a partner. North Dakota has done some cooperative models, they were facing the same situation. It was a rural community out there. They didn't know where they were going to find workers, and they realized that they weren't going to find workers if they didn't have childcare. And so they formed a co-op. That model seems to be working well out there. I think there's a lot of different options and alternatives that we can look to, but they all have to involve the employers. If they want workers, they need to be able to step up to the plate and contribute to helping to find them.
I wonder if we've also seen you mentioned this as a recruitment tool for businesses, but I wonder if it's also, become more of a just something that workers are using to decide what job they're going to take and what job they're not. Maybe they're already in the La Crosse area, but, you know, when it comes to comparing benefits, you know, are we seeing more workers looking at that?
I don't think we're there yet. I think that businesses are still, for the most part, on the sidelines. Obviously, we have some larger employees here in La Crosse that are able to offer some in-house childcare. But the challenges across the region is that we don't have those really, really large businesses that could have that economy of scale. And so they're going to have to look at more unique ways and partnerships. I hope that they continue to become more interested in this because we need them at the table for the solution.
Ruth, Chris mentioned a model in North Dakota that could be applied to here in Wisconsin. I wonder if you also know of other examples of communities, states, counties who are doing this well.
So the model that I'll talk about is what is currently being worked on right in Vernon County. And this came about from, this has been like a labor of love from community leaders around Vernon County and into the Cashton area of Monroe County, where through a series of community conversations, literally local citizens have come to the table to say, hey, this is a crisis. What are we going to do? What options are there? What's the role of business? How can business support what's going on? And so the communities themselves, so this is Westby, Viroqua, Lafarge, all of these very rural communities came together. We were at the table with them, my association was, and through a series of conversations over the course of about 2 years, we looked at any number of possible solutions, most of which I'm just going to, on a super pragmatic level, without large sums of money, it's super hard to figure out the best ways to fix this, right? And right now, we need to sort of say, what can we do within the current structure of care that's available in Wisconsin to help stabilize it so that more families have access to consistent care, so that more childcare programs can keep all their classrooms open, so that family childcare programs can keep their doors open, so that employers can keep hiring people. And that's just sort of this churn that happens in our economy. And so what we did is we looked at a model. It's called Shared Services, and we're in the process of launching a Shared Services network in Vernon County. There are about 24 Shared Service networks of early childhood programs across the nation, and essentially what they do is they provide two areas of support to local childcare programs. So they take multiple childcare programs, they bring them together into a network, and in this network, through sort of an economy of scale, they are able to bring down the cost of what we say, we call it sort of backroom services. So this is your purchasing. If you're all purchasing mulch for your playground, can we get the mulch in a negotiated lower price if we're purchasing for five programs as opposed to one program? So there's shared purchasing that happens. There's shared staffing that can happen. There is shared resources around how businesses do their billing and receivables so that hopefully child care programs can receive more of the parent fees that are due to them. One of the challenges that you find in child care is that simply the business of running a child care, this is not the reason most people get into child care. They don't say, hey, I'm an excellent bookkeeper, I have great business skills, I'm going to open a child care program. They open child care because they're passionate about kids. They know either through education or intuition and life experience how to work well with kids and support kids and families. And they get into it and they don't necessarily know how to do all of those backroom businesses, services that have to happen in order to keep your business afloat. So a shared services network takes business practices into an aggregate, and instead of having five programs employing a part-time bookkeeper, the network would have a bookkeeper that does the bookkeeping for all of the programs and does the purchasing for all of the programs and can do human resource administration, it can do marketing, it can do the whole process of enrolling kids. So it basically says, hey, child care program, you do what you're really great at, which is running a child care program and serving kids and families, and the network will take on all of the business side of running this. And so we worked with the community and received a grant through the Medical College of Wisconsin through the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Program. It's a four-year grant, and it's to actually launch a shared services network. Ideally, what the network does is it stabilizes care so that businesses can keep, so that child care businesses can keep their doors open. It does a series of what we call educational leadership work with programs so that if you have staff in five different programs, instead of each of those programs being responsible for securing the professional development needs of their staff, you can do that through the shared services network. And so in its best scenario, shared services networks help programs meet their bottom line so that they can put more money towards their staff wages, keep their doors open, keep meeting the needs of families in their community. And so this network, we should be enrolling programs into the network by the beginning of 2019. It will have a relief squad so that if a child care program needs to take a day off because they're sick or they have a sick staff person, there's a relief squad that's funded through Vernon County that can step in and provide sort of substitute support to that program. The program will be recruiting both family child care programs and small group programs to participate in it. We are working with a number of area employers, Vernon Memorial Healthcare, Organic Valley, Scenic Bluffs, Westby Cooperative Credit Union, school districts, economic development, Vernon County Economic Development. All of these folks have been at the table to sort of say, what do you need for support? How can we support this initiative as it moves forward? And it's been a remarkable experience to see the community really rally around this.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the economic impact of access to child care. We're here with Ruth Schmidt from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, Chris Hardy from the Seven Rivers Alliance, Marianne Torkelson from Co-op Credit Union, and Jody Weedock from The Parenting Place. Jody, as someone who works with, child care organizations, I wonder what your kind of response is to, this network that Ruth is talking about that's being built in Vernon County.
Well, I'm really excited to see how it unfolds and to see what the impact will be in a couple of years. A lot of hard work has gone into getting it up and running, and especially for our rural communities, we need creativity. We need the communities to really support innovation, and that's happening in Vernon County, so I'm really excited to see what happens there. And I'm also aware that Unfortunately, there's not just one magical solution to figure this out. We can't just snap our fingers and voila, we have all of the child care slots we need. It's such a complex issue. And I think it will continue to need all sorts of powerful minds at work here, getting creative and being innovative to solve it. You know, some of the things that we're hearing about that might, you know, every little new strategy or idea might just bring in a couple new providers, and, you know, that in itself is successful. We're hearing about possible tax breaks from the state of Wisconsin for child care providers. That could go a long way for helping providers stay in the business, help them have a stronger bottom line. I think about some of the work we do at the Parenting Place, one-on-one with child care providers, doing cohort groups. So really focusing on the small business person, the person doing childcare from her home, it's normally a woman, and bringing them together to be supports to one another, to help them stay in the business and help maybe, and those providers sometimes have a friend who's doing unregulated care, and to help bring them into the fold of regulation. So that's just another strategy that's out there that brings a few more providers in. You know, I think about When I think about how can we solve this quickly, unfortunately, I just don't have a really good answer for that. I think we'd be doing it if we could solve it quickly. I know we touched on ratios, and those are incredibly important. The more attention a child can get from an adult, the better off that child is, the higher quality. And then sometimes, and I know in Wisconsin we have some of the most strict standards around ratio, so I would never want to advocate for saying they're too strong because it means good care for kids. And then on the other hand, I wonder, wow, what if that certified provider could care for one more child? One more. What would that do for our state? What would that do for the regulated, for the shortage in child care? And that is a controversial thing to say. Not everybody would say, Jody, that's an excellent idea. But I think it, when we, Ruth used the word crisis, and I agree with that. So it is maybe time to look at some of those things, at least do some comparing about, well, if our ratios are, you know, four children to one adult, and Minnesota has, I don't know what it is, it's more, it's like six or eight. Let's look at the differences. What does it mean for safety and quality? Is there something there that could help us in this crisis?
Marianne, I wonder in Jackson County how much you guys are anticipating that this is going to take creative solutions to address this issue in your county.
It definitely is. And, you know, each community is different, and each community has its own strengths that it can draw from. It has its own employer base, and it has its own parent base. So, you know, we're fairly early in our process yet, and I'm still working to gather all the data that we need to try and make the best decisions for our community, because it really does become an economic development issue. One of the ladies from Human Services came to a meeting one day and said, I got three calls just a day from people that had been offered jobs in Black River Falls, and they hadn't accepted them yet because they were wondering what child care availability we had to offer in our community. So these are the kinds of things that are impacting people coming to our community growth, our community development, and just being, you know, a better place for families to live.
Jody, did you have something to add?
Well, when you mentioned the workers who are not accepting jobs because of uncertain child care arrangements, in La Crosse County, we are aware of there's a W-2 steering committee. And the W-2 program works with folks that we want to see skills improvements and get them into the workforce. Well, we're hearing the same thing from those folks. They've gone through the programs. They're really proud. They're ready and able to work. And they can't take the job that's been offered to them because they don't have the child care access.
Very quickly, Marianne, what does success look like for your group?
Boy, success at this point, I think, is kind of difficult to define. I think we're all really excited about the people at the table and the willingness to put forth the hard work to try and come up with a solution. And, you know, from our employer base to, you know, our childcare agencies in the community. So right now we're hoping that we get a lot of response from our employers. This is their opportunity to speak to the issues that they're seeing in their workforce. And then just being creative and coming up with, a model that will work for our community.
We've been talking with Mary Ann Torkelson, Vice President of Business Development and Training at Co-op Credit Union, Jody Weedock, Executive Director of the Parenting Place, Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, and Chris Hardy, Executive Director of the Seven Rivers Alliance, about how access to childcare continues to impact the workforce and employers in the Cooley region. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.